So I'm going to talk to you today about the think tank for African American Progress on Long Island. I have no financial disclosures to make. So the national model for the think tank for African American Progress has the aim to bring together scholar activists and African American communities to develop, disseminate, and implement solutions to key community challenges. We want to advance African American progress in the areas of health, education, economic community development, and STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. In Long Island, we focused on two areas, health and economic and community development. The National Think Tank goals are to conduct a series of interdisciplinary research and policy symposium to host convenings with diverse community, academic, and health stakeholders. In 2010, the National Think Tank question was, what is the future for Black girls? And we want to promote an empowerment model of engagement to build on collaborations between African American scholars, policymakers, and community partners, and to produce multiple methods of disseminating the results of the think tank. We'd like to guide and inform collaborative efforts through a strategic plan and influence policy and practices impacting African Americans. Before coming to Long Island, the think tank has been held in Atlanta, Kansas City, and Memphis twice, and I'm probably missing some, but the key point is that they had all been south of the Mason-Dixon line. And so this was the first time that we brought the think tank sort of up northeast, where people think that we don't have problems. So, but Long Island is very unique in that it is the third most residentially segregated suburban region in the nation. The black-white index of dissimilarity for Long Island is 74.4. The index of dissimilarity is a 0 to 100 scale, where 0 represents complete integration and 100 represents total apartheid. So a 74.4 could be interpreted as almost 75% of blacks would have to move into predominantly white communities in order for us to have an integrated community. In 2000, 10 census tracts accounted for 60% of Long Island's African American population, and the majority of minorities in Long Island live in segregated communities regardless of their income. So where do blacks live on Long Island? The way this map works is sort of the darker brown, the higher concentration of blacks. And so you can see the sort of real pockets of black communities, and that's sort of the way it works. Those of us from Long Island, we can pick them out, Freeport, Belmont. We sort of know where they are because we know those communities. So residential segregation is, you know, neighborhoods are separated by race, and it's already been documented as one of the many causes of disparities in health between blacks and whites. We're talking about the difference in the social and physical environment that affects health outcomes. So socioeconomic status, housing, social capital, access and quality of goods and services, and access to quality of medical care. So segregation is often more than just the physical isolation of people. It often isolates people from opportunity and opportunity structures. Black communities on Long Island have higher poverty rates, lower median incomes, poorer schools, older housing stock, and lower home ownership rate compared to white, predominantly white communities. So this map shows public schools on Long Island. The blue is whites, the reds are African Americans, the yellow is Hispanics, the green is Asians, and the orange is Native American. We actually have two Native American reservations on Long Island. The majority of Long Island students of color are concentrated in 13 of the 127 school districts that occupy Long Island. It works, every town and hamlet has its own school district. And they often attend high poverty schools with inadequate resources. So 71% of African American students would have to change schools in order for us to have sort of integrated schools. So why black girls? The community picked the target areas that we would address on Long Island. They picked obesity, sexual health, and mental health. In terms of obesity, black girls 6 to 11 have the highest obesity rates among their age group at 22%, and black adolescent females from 12 to 19 also have the highest obesity rates among their age group, over 25%. In terms of sexual health, nearly half of black teenage girls between 14 and 19 have at least one of the four common STIs, a rate that is 2.5 times higher than that of their white peers. And in terms of mental health, we know that increased psychological distress over time results into increased vulnerability to community health problems. In terms of our economic and community development, we found that black women were less likely to obtain a college degree when compared to the white counterparts, and even when they did, they often earned lower salaries in comparable occupations. And the poverty level among black children is nearly triple that of Asians and whites. So we use a comprehensive, multi-level, region-specific, culturally appropriate strategies to facilitate community support. Our model was a six-phase model that began with community planning. the Center for Public Health and Health Policy Research at Stony Brook University, along with the Suffolk County Minority Health Action Coalition, which is a community coalition that we helped form, held a series of local planning committees with the Think Tank for African American Progress executive leadership and a local planning committee that consisted of all community members. The Think Tank for African American Progress held its convening between April 22nd and April 24th, 2010. Again, we were addressing the question, what is the future with black girls? Our goals were to support and train new leaders through the Black Girls Youth Leadership and Empowerment Summit, to organize the unique communities on Long Island to become social change agents at the solution-focused think tank, and to identify needs, improve the health and economic conditions of African American communities with the strategy brief. Phase two is our youth summit. So the first youth summit was held on April 22nd at Stony Brook University. We brought 50 black girls age 11 through 15 from Suffolk and Nassau counties. Those are the two counties that make up Long Island, to Stony Brook University. Long Island is a college town. You can't walk probably three blocks without hitting a college. And we found that it was interesting that many of these girls had never been on a college campus. And so for many of these girls, it was their first time on a college campus. We conducted a series of activities and discussions around health. We began the day with yoga. They had music where they were dancing. They did a step show. They heard from a nutritionist. And the keynote speaker was Dr. Kamara Jones from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. I was going to show a video of what happened that day, but we don't have audio, so I'm going to skip the video, if it lets me. Yes. So the next day, we had the solution roundtables. We developed a call for solutions for people who work in obesity, mental health, sexual health, and violence. Those were our four priority areas. We disseminated the call for solutions nationally. We brought in scholars. So the presenters discussed community challenges and their ideas for solutions based upon their research, community-based work, or programs with demonstrated efficacy. Participants of the solution roundtable worked towards outlining and prioritizing central issues, and these were moderated discussions. We trained moderators. Each group had a moderator team, one academic, and one local community person. The next day, which is phase four, we have the strategic planning sessions. The strategic planning sessions build on the work started during the solution roundtable. Participants collaborated to develop real set strategies to address issues, to develop action items, timelines, and appropriate community stakeholders that would be responsible for addressing each action item. Phase five is sort of where we currently are now. We're developing the strategy brief. The strategy brief is a programmatic and policy relevant document that outlines a set of strategies for the identified problems within the community. It lays out the current conditions, identifies unmet needs, locates community resources, and proposes a strategic plan for implementation. It establishes benchmarks for success, reassessments, and evaluation. The Long Island Think Tank for Black Progress working groups and the moderators are going to facilitate the process of developing the strategy brief. And then phase six is dissemination and evaluation. We plan to disseminate the strategy brief to practitioners, policymakers, and community stakeholders. We also want to assess the impact of the brief by observing which strategies have been implemented and are yielding the desired outcomes. So our timeline, in November 2009, the National Think Tank office came to Long Island for a site visit. We were shortly thereafter approved to hold a think tank on Long Island. We began planning for our convening between January and March of 2010. We held our convening in April, which started with the first Black Girls Leadership and Empowerment Summit. Through May, through July, we've been doing a lot of organizational development and planning for future youth summits. One of the nice things that have stemmed from this is that the community members have formed their own organization, which is now called the Long Island Think Tank for Black Progress. You'll see that I switched from the term African American to black. That's because in Long Island, there were many blacks who did not identify themselves as African American, so we use black. The mission of the Long Island Think Tank for Black Progress is an organization dedicated to developing solutions to the social, health, educational, political, and economic maladies confronting black communities on Long Island. LitBIP, as we call it, will identify and utilize programs and initiatives that are culturally appropriate, evidence-based, and regionally adaptable to address the inequities facing these communities. The vision is to develop a culturally appropriate region-specific strategy plan to implement community-driven solutions for policy and practice for the future of black girls in the following areas: obesity, mental health, sexual health, and violence. We want to empower black communities so that they can secure a healthy future for black girls and their families. The structure is, there's a board, there's an executive committee, there's sort of an independent advisory council, and then there's the working groups. That's where the work occurs. They're working now to work on the strategy brief. Here's sort of the organizational structure of the Long Island Think Tank for Black Progress. So there's the board, and then the executive committee sort of is made up of all the chairs of the working groups. And right now we have several working groups: evaluation, the FRAC, which is fundraising and advertising, mental health, obesity. We have a policy work group, a sexual health work group, a violence work group, and a youth work group. The objectives are to identify risk and protective factors that influence the health and well-being of Black girls, to utilize information gathered from the convening participants, working groups, and literature to guide and inform efforts, to develop a strategic action plan with and for our young Black girls, to conduct activities in collaboration with community, faith, and social organization, to increase educational opportunities and provide leadership skills, and to enhance knowledge, self-esteem, and confidence. In August, we had the second Black Girls Leadership and Empowerment Summit. So the same group of girls we brought in August, we brought them back. We brought them back in August. In September, the community had their open house where they sort of opened up the think tank to all the community members and asked people to join working groups. Between September and sort of the future, the working groups are meeting. I'm proud to say that tomorrow the community is actually holding the next youth summit, so it's nice that I'm not there, and they've decided to keep going, so that sort of shows that they could sustain it without me, which is good. And between 2011 and 2013, we'll be developing the strategy brief. We'll be conducting some organizational development for the organization. They're looking to get their 501c3 and doing sustainable long-term activities that include community engagement and mobilization, resource identification, and building community capacity. So where do we go from here? We're trying to engage local community stakeholders to address the question, what is the future for Black girls on Long Island? Develop innovative region-specific solutions and activities that are culturally appropriate practices. Provide policy direction to local authorities based on the strategy brief. Assess the impact of strategies in the communities. And build the capacity of communities to address the health concerns confronting Black girls on Long Island. So we were funded by the Long Island Community Foundation, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the Verizon Foundation. So it's nice to have both local and national foundations and a corporate foundation. Our partners also include Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, which is one of the national Black sororities, and also Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, the Long Island Black Educators Association, the National Council of Negro Women, the Suffolk County Chapter, and the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, the Suffolk County Chapter. So we'd like to thank clearly all of our funders. For them, it would not be possible, and definitely the community members. It's really nice to see a community grab hold of something that academics brought out, take it and make it their own. They've really made it more than what we ever thought it would be, so we are extremely excited. Thank you.